good morning. Good morning, beautiful people. I'm Babs Rose Ivy. Welcome to the second hour of Love Babs Love Talk. Thank you all for hanging out for the last 20 minutes for Word on the Street. That was so much fun. The word on the street today, word is Nico's on Orange Street. But right now I'm talking to my girlfriend, my sister friend, my photography teacher, Kim Weston, noted award-winning photographer, artist, and new founder of Wabi Gallery. Welcome, girl. Welcome.
Hey, Babs. How you doing this morning?
Good morning. You look amazing.
Thank you. So do you, Miss Fabulous.
Oh, girl, please. But how you doing? How are the babies?
Because you got like babies are good.
You like me, you got like a bunch of children.
Yeah, I have my own tribe. It started with one and now there's six.
Well, you know, it's like potato chips. You can never have just one.
That's so true.
Ooh, so how are you? What's new? I know what's new, but what's new with you right now? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really, really good. I'm feeling really happy about what's going on with Wabi, the people that I'm meeting. Things are just falling in place.
That's good.
You know,
that's
they're just falling. Yeah, they're falling in place.
So tell us all about Wabi Gallery. I know people have been paying attention. People can go to Wabi Gallery site and check it out. But you are a noted photographer. You are a teacher. You are all these things. And then you woke up one day and said, you know what? It's time for me to have my own damn gallery. And then tell us about the name behind it and your roots for it.
Right. So I decided to name the gallery Wabi, which means sea in Algonquin. It's the language that was spoken by a lot of the native tribes that were from this area in New Haven. The Quinnipiac people that were here, they spoke the language. And so part of my ancestry is Native. My family is Mohawk and also Cherokee. And I didn't want to bring in my tribe and name the gallery after my tribe. I wanted to pay honor to the tribe that was here. And sea is such a strong word, and it's a powerful thing. And photography is all about seeing. Being able to see the things that you can see and the things that you can't see, right? The camera shows you those things that you're not paying attention to and the things that you are paying attention to.
Ooh, that's so powerful.
Art is one of those things too, right? So sometimes we're educated in what we see, and those that are not educated discover things that they never saw before. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to open up a gallery that allow people to be able to see those things and to be able to identify themselves. A lot of New Haven has lots of beautiful arts organizations here, but a lot of people don't feel comfortable walking into some of them. So I wanted to create a space that people from the community can feel like they can walk in and feel like this is a comfortable space that they can get. They can talk about how they feel in the community, but they can also experience art. But one of the biggest things that I wanted to do was to teach sustainability, how to be able to make a living off of the arts and not buy into, well, I'm an artist and I'm poor and I'm broke and I'm starving.
Or that's I'm an BS. Artist and I got to work 20 jobs to support my art.
Right, right.
Yes. I was just having that same conversation with Dan the other day.
Really?
Maurice of the Arts Council. I said, you know, we never ask doctors to moonlight or take a second job to be doctors, right? We pay them so that they can do this work fully. So That's we should right. pay artists so that they can do this work fully and not have to become other things to support it.
Right.
So,
right.
Go ahead, girl. Go ahead.
Right. So how many of us graduate from, we do buy into the system and we go to art school? Mm-hmm. And then we go and we get our master's and we graduate.
Is that what you did?
That's what I did. I followed the system. And I found myself not being able to find a job. So I went and tried to work for other photographers and they wouldn't hire me. So this one photographer, when I was living in New York City, he shot for Essence Magazine. And he said, well, they're not going to hire you, Kim, because you're just as good as they are. I was 22 years old. And he said, they're not going to hire you. You're a little thing at the time. Now I'm not so little, but I'm voluptuous now. And he said, they're not going to hire you. And he said, act like it's a, do me a favor, act like it's a project that you have in school. And give it a week, decide what you want to shoot. If you want to work for the music industry, make a portfolio that looks like the music industry. If you want to work for Essence or you want to work for Vogue, then make a portfolio that looks like that. And then start going and shopping it to those particular places. So I decided I wanted to work for the music industry because I love music. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. And I started getting work with Sony and Epic and, you know, just the list went on. I photographed Mary J. Blige and Biggie Smalls and you name it. I shot those people in the industry during that time, during the early 90s.
I did not know that part about you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know, I thought I knew a lot, but I didn't know that part.
Yeah. I was running the streets, girl, with my camera.
I was right behind you. Yeah. Or in front of you. I was in front of you, really. I'm older than you, so I was running in front of you. All right, so you do that. You shoot all the fabulous, beautiful people. And then what happens?
But I stay away from art because I go to school and I go out and I pursue the commercial world. I stayed away from art. And I remember going to Lorna Simpson and feeling like, I don't know how to write an artist statement. How do you go to art school and not know how to write an artist statement? How do you leave not knowing how to write an artist statement?
Because they're not preparing you for that.
No, they're not. Ooh. No, they're not. Right? And so so later on, I had brain surgery about 8 years ago. And I decided I was going to go back to school. And after having kids, decide I'm going to go back and become an artist. That's it. I then worked and painted and had all kind of careers in the arts, from commercial art, commercial photography, to web design, to graphic design, anything creative that I could do, but not fine art. And I realized that life is short. And so I went back to school to get my master's in New York City. And at BARD, ICP BARD, the International Center of Photography. Mm-hmm. And I commuted and I stayed at my mom's house in Queens. And I lived back and forth between New York and Connecticut. And I enjoyed my time there. I learned a lot. I studied under some great people. Nalen Blake was the chair of the program at the time. I met some amazing people. And what I got from the program was there was no one that they could refer me to in terms of my native culture, because I was interested in my native work, the work that I was doing. And how do I talk about the intersection of how Black culture and native culture come together? How many times have you heard Black people say, oh, I have some native blood in me, mm-hmm. and or I have some native ancestry? Well, mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about that in my work and show that in my work, but they couldn't refer me to any native artists. They couldn't refer, they didn't show Black artists or artists of color. And so I got really angry. And one photographer came in and said, don't get angry. Look at it as an opportunity for you to input that information. And so I've been on a mission since then to say, hey, there's lots of people of color that are out here doing incredible work, mm-hmm. that need to be put into these educational programs. And so that's what I do. I teach young people about these artists like LaToya Ruby Frazier or June Lee, right? Dawu Bey, Lorna Simpson, Carrie Mae Weems. They're just amazing photographers, right? And so that's my job. But I also want to teach them, how do you go about making money? How do you go about sustaining yourself? And so the gallery for me is a place where artists can show their work, right? They can get the recognition that they deserve and for the work that they get, they do, but also get the skills that they need to be on the level of a LaToya Ruby Frazier or a June Lee, who has gotten a Guggenheim Fellowship and award, right? And who has made many, many community efforts, who's coming on my team to be a part of Wabi Gallery, who wants to meet you, Babs, and sit on your porch, by the way. And so, you know, I want to bring artists like that into the gallery to turn around and look at the young people and say, hey, I'm going to bring you up. You know, I'm going to bring you up with me. I'm going to help you get ahead. And a lot of people, a lot of organizations are not necessarily doing that work. They're not teaching sustainability. They might be opening up the pathway for young people to go to certain galleries or certain institutions, but they're not necessarily teaching them what to do if that path is not for them.
Would people get this, the where would, I mean, it sounds like what I used to hear with the folks who were trying to get a record deal. You got to learn the business. It's not enough that you can sing, right, you know, or play an instrument. You got to know the business because you want to be able to do this for your life. And it sounds like that's the same kind of thing. And you've learned it through trial and error. Like,
right,
I want to be, I spend a lot of time doing the commercial stuff because that stuff paid the bills.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
But,
right,
you know, you learn by trial and error. You know, how do I take care of my taxes? How do I make an artist statement? How do I peddle my work? How do I do that? How do I get in these spaces? And so you learned it by doing it. No one, there was no place you could go to learn specifically those skill sets.
Right. It wasn't until I went into the MFA program that I started getting the information, but it was bits and pieces. So why am I paying $70,000? To get that information, right? Like, I shouldn't have to pay that kind of money to have that information available to me. That information should have been given to me in my undergrad. That information should be just available, right? It should be available at high school, that you should have a artist statement and a bio ready for you with your work. It should be available. It should be a known thing, but it's not, because that goes against the system, right? Because if you have that information, then why do I need you? Why do I need the institution? So what I'm talking about is going against the grain of those institutions, right? In many ways. I'm not saying that those institutions are not needed, because I believe in those institutions. But for those that don't want to follow that path and that are self-taught, there's another path. There's another way. And so, in that way, there are things that you can do to get yourself to that place where you can sustain yourself as an artist.
And so, as you are creating and building out this gallery, talk a little bit about some of the things you want to see happen in it.
Well, I want to do a shared space. I want it to be a friendly space. I want people to come in from the community, and if they want to talk about what's happening.
Because oftentimes, Kim, when you go into galleries, people treat them like libraries, right? Like they get nervous, they get quiet, and, you know, there's no talking, and everybody's shh, and moving about. And
no, I don't want that. No, that's not what I want. I don't want that model. I want the model of you come in, you can sit down, you can open up some of the books that'll be available there. There'll be a work share space that's there, that if you're a small business and you want a desk or something that you want to rent for the month, you can have your mail come there. You can run a small business out of there. You'll be accessible to the young people in the community that are working, coming in and out. So those young people can turn around to that person that's at that desk and say, are you having a problem with that program? Let me help you. Or if that young person is there writing something, you know, maybe Ife will get a desk with me, right? And from Lit Fest, and she can come over and show this young person how to write an artist statement, right? I want it to be a community space, mm-hmm. where everyone is helping everyone. That's the way we learn, right? That's the old way of what used to happen in the community. And so I want this space to be a professional gallery, but I also want it to be a community space where we learn from each other, mm-hmm. right? And we go out into the community. And if you need food, that we have a curated installation that says you can come in and you can take some canned goods and make it look good like an art installation. And you can take food home with you because that's what you need, you know, and June Lee wants to do something creative like that in the community, where if you need a coat or if you need masks for your children, that you can come and have access to that. You know, these are the type of things that we want to do with this gallery, you know, and it be a space that we can talk about, you know, how some of the organizations in New Haven are building buildings and taking some of the low income housing away, and the prices are skyrocketing. Well, how developers are coming in and fixing up communities that need supermarkets, but at the same time, the taxes are going through the roof and people are being pushed out of their community, right? So how do we battle that? How do we bring in support for the community? And how do we bring in their needs without telling them what they need versus asking them what they need, mm. right? There's a big difference between, let me tell you what you need, poor person. Right?
That is very, very true.
Right?
Yes.
I had that.
Go ahead.
So I had that block cheese. Did you have block cheese when you were younger at some point?
Girl, I had powdered milk.
Good macaroni and cheese. Right?
Powdered milk and those white boxes with just names across, you know, the no frills kind of stuff. I remember that stuff.
Right. So it was really important, you know, as I got older to go back. I was working at an arts institution in New York City, and I was teaching a photography class, and they said the class is not going to continue, Kim, because we don't have enough students. I took my black behind across the road to 8th Avenue, to Drew Hamilton Projects. And I started knocking on doors and handing out little flyers and asking if people had some teenagers in the house that wanted to take a photography class. That's community work, right? That's how you go get kids, right? And if you can't get them from the public school, you just go knock on the door. That's what I want to do, you know? And I want to do it better than that. But I would like for my community to know who I am.
What's better than that? There's nothing better than that. I think I like that idea. I'll come knock right along with you.
Right. Right.
So tell me about the location, because I think this is pretty important about where you are housing this gallery, Wabi Gallery.
So I'm housing Wabi Gallery at 124 or 126 Court Street, downtown New Haven.
Which is a cute little street.
Yes, it's between Orange and State Street, mm-hmm. little street. So it's a couple of steps from the New Haven Metro North, right? Like 394 steps. It's like, because I'm working on a business plan, so I have to have all this information. And it's 0.0 miles from the green. So it's just a couple of blocks, the half a block from the green.
And down the street from the cupcake store, Edible Couture.
Yes.
Have you been in there? That's a wonderful bad place.
No, I have not.
Every day.
No, I have not. Yeah. So it's just, it's in a great location in terms of access. And so I wanted it to be a place where everyone can have access to it, you know,
and it's downtown.
It's downtown.
And that's a nice, I love, because everything, all the buses go downtown, everything goes downtown, and you can just walk over and be right there in the mix.
Right, right.
You know, and if you're from other parts, you can get off the train the bus and be right there in the mix.
And come see some New Haven artists and some artists from around the New Haven area and from New York or Boston who are sharing the space with local artists here, and get off that train and come into Wabi Gallery and check out some fresh art.
Yes, absolutely. So you sit on the board of Art Space.
Yes.
You know, which is headed up by Lisa Dent.
Love Lisa.
The fabulous Lisa Dent. Does that help or hurt you to be so connected and rooted in this arts community?
It helps me. I think it helps me a lot. I've learned a lot from being on the board over these years. And I think they've learned a lot from me as well. You know, I've been able to give, especially now that Helen is no longer, Clowder is no longer as the ED there. Lisa is not from New Haven, so she's needed some support in terms of like the dynamics of where things are in New Haven. And I've been able to lend my voice to her. And, you know, I think it's a good relationship. And she's had a lot of support from the community come behind her and say, you know, and say, hey, we're here for you. She's done a great job in terms of what's happening with Art Space. But I think with my knowledge of being an artist, being a person from New Haven, 20 years a resident in New Haven, I think I have a good handle on what's happening there. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. You're busy. Busy.
Busy,
you know,
busy.
When you're in, right. You know, when you're in demand.
Yeah. So I think it helps.
So do you have conversations with other artists? Because New Haven is very artist rich, I find.
Yes.
You know, and not just white artists, but Black artists, Latino artists. Like, it's very, very artist rich. Do you have conversations with them? What have they said about your efforts?
Everyone has been so supportive. When they see me, they give me hugs. I heard what you're doing, Kim. Congratulations. They just get, sis, they give me these big hugs and they're so excited for me. Lisa Dent is so excited for me. I mean, just Westfield is so excited for me.
Because Westfield has a nice artist collective up there. Like they've spent a lot of under the lot of studio folks, you know, Mistina and Dulio and Kate Stevens and all those folks up there. Sepulveda, right? Sepulveda, David, Simi. You know, they've got a nice, tight artist collective up there that I've not seen replicated too many other places.
No. Erector Square. I was at Erector Square.
Erector Square. Yes. That's another pocket of artists.
Yes. Erector Square doesn't have the same kind of love that Westfield has. I'm jealous because I was at Erector Square for about 5 years.
Oh, that's right. That's how when they had open studios, I came to your studio.
Yes. Yeah.
Y'all had like little good food out.
And wine.
Oh, yes.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And Mistina and Luke just really have just done their thing over there, bringing all those artists together. And the artists are just like, No Way is an artist that I have brought on to be a part of the gallery. He's on the board of River there. So am I. and I've asked him to come on, and his work is different. He's a painter, but his work is simple and yet intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important to have local artists be a part of the gallery. And in me doing that, he turned around. I asked him to be a part of the gallery, and he turned around and said, "Hey, Kim, do you want to be in this show that's happening in Bridgeport?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "Yeah, we have to keep supporting each other." And so I think as long as I'm an artist, I'm going to always support other artists in New Haven. Mm-hmm. And New Haven artists have always supported me, you know, and I'm going to continue to support Art Space, just like I'm going to continue to support Creative Arts Workshop and Arts Council and any of the other arts organizations here. I don't think we should be separate. I think we should all work together.
Absolutely. You know? So how do you find time to do your work? You know, to work on your art, because this is a lot, you know, opening a gallery, working with architects, doing the thing, raising money. That's a lot. How do you find time to like do what God called you to do, which is a lot of things? But I mean, I've seen your work. I saw it up at the library this past fall.
Yes.
Beautiful indigenous photographs in ways that I've never seen indigenous folks captured. Beautiful, stunning. And you have a technique where the work is on glass or metal.
On
beautiful.
Metal.
On yes. metal. So how do you find the time to do your work?
Well, because of the pandemic, I haven't really been out to shoot much, right? And this past summer, I didn't go out much to shoot, but I have been creative. I've been creating more sculptures and multimedia pieces and looking back into my archive and coming up with pieces. I have a new installation that's going up at Arts Council because I was awarded the land acknowledgement grant that they had. So I'm going to have a permanent installation there. This spring we should have something up.
I know, I can't wait.
Yeah. So in terms of me working, I created a piece the other day here at home. My wife wanted me to create a hanging piece, and she's in love with this artist, Natalie Ball, who I hope will join the gallery, who was at Yale, a Native American artist. And she's like, "You need to get me a piece from Natalie Ball by any means necessary." and I said, I'll work on it and see if I can do a barter with her. And so maybe one day that will come true. But meanwhile, she wants this space filled in our house. And so I took a blanket and I'm taking some deer hide and I'm taking her. My wife is Seminole. And so the Seminole tribe is from Florida and they do a lot of patchwork. And so I took some patchwork from a skirt that she had and laid it over the deer hide and laid it over the blanket. And then I'm going to take some horsehair tail and braid it and throw that in and then do wow. something else.
I hope you film this. This is like a masterclass. Like, I just want to see you do it.
Yeah. And so we were like playing around with it. And I was like, "I like that. And I like this." And, you know, and we did something really quick and it's not done yet. But and the kids were running around and somebody was asking me to download. What's the name of that game? Fortnite. And I couldn't figure out how to download Fortnite and they were interrupting me. And I was like, "Hey, I'm trying to create some artwork. Leave me alone."
Listen, that's the real talk of a working mother who is an artist, got to, you know, at home. Because I know you got space at home to work, to do your work. But, you know, kids don't got no boundaries. So
no, they don't. They don't. No, they don't.
It's like, "I just need you, Mom."
So you have to learn how to work with that. You know, I love my children. People say, "How do you have so many children?" But I love my triplets. I love my 9-year-old who's smaller than my triplets. My 5-year-olds. You know, I love my teenagers, even though they're driving me crazy.
Oh,
you know,
girl.
Like, they make me want to pull my hair out, you know. I love them. They're really good kids. They're just crazy right now. Yeah. You know?
And various stages. I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand that. So, mm-hmm. All right. So you get Wabi Gallery. It's already in spoken into existence. You got all the artists, you're pulling artists that you really enjoy and you admire working with. So what do you want to see happen into the future? Like if you had a crystal ball or whatever indigenous folks do about thinking about the future, you know, smoke,
burn
whatever,
speaker.
Burn some of them. Yes, child, whatever. Or the little tobacco things that you had in those red satin
prayer.
I still have the prayer. They're so beautiful. I haven't burnt not one yet because they're so beautiful. And I feel like if I burn them, they'll be gone. Like I don't want them to go.
Well, you know, what someone that can give you more. Okay.
Then I'll stop hoarding them. So what do you want for the future? What do you see into the future?
Well, let me tell you what I've done so far. So far I've started Focus Fellowship, which is a high school program for photographers. So I've gathered together about 8 kids that are focused high school students that are focused on photography as a means of they're learning the skill, the craft, and they started in October. And when they finish the program, they're going to have an exhibition and they'll walk away with camera equipment that will help them to sustain themselves. They'll have a website, they'll have an Instagram account, and they will have a portfolio that they can show people and say, hey, this is who I am. And if they want to go off to college and use it for college, they can do that. If they want to use it to sell themselves, they can do that. So that's the first programming that I've done. Now, next is to add more programming. So I want to teach. And so teaching is a big part of what I'm doing. So I'm adding programming as I go. I'm not just waiting for the building, right? So I've already put the website up. I've already, you know, I'm engaging artists to come and teach. I'm engaging people in the community. Kwejo is going to teach some classes with me. We're going to get some kids and put them together. We've already had these conversations. Oi Fortun, she is away, but she says she will teach some printmaking to some young people. So I'm talking to the young people in the people in the community to do collaborations who have space until Wabi Gallery, the physical building, is done later on this year. I want to see in the future a vibrant space that has professional exhibition space, this vibrant work share space, this community space where people can come and gather, that they can rent out if they want to have an event, that they can have gatherings if they need to call the troops together to fight for a cause or to communicate something, a place that we can give out coats if we need to give out coats or give out masks, or if people need to come in and, you know, we're still in COVID. If downtown needs a location to, you know, give out shots or something, that there's a place where people can come and get that. They can walk to it, right? That's what I want. I want a real community space, but I want an art space. And hey, guess what? While you're in there doing that and picking up your canned food, you know, because you need food and the food bank is closed and you're going to pick up your canned goods and the people that live in the building that work at Yale are going to drop some food off back to our creative, beautiful monument that we've curated to look like art, but is serving the community. While that is happening, you can look at some work. And we're going to teach you that you need to invest in art instead of Walmart art and that $20 piece and put that $20 into invested into an artist. So you know that that art is going to turn into $40 or $100 5 years from now because you want to follow that artist and watch the value of their work go up.
Exactly. I'm so glad you said that because that's how I came to art collecting. You know, when I was married, that's what we did. We would invest in a particular artist that we liked. Not, and you know, And we would just follow their career, you know. So we did that with a lot of people doing that. So that's how I learned. So that's a good way to do it, mm-hmm. You know, so buy some of Duleo's work because it's beautiful and it's affordable. At some point, it's going to be not.
Right. And so you know when an artist is going to really do it because of the passion that they have. You know, when you watch them and then they 1 year they're doing it, then 2 years they're doing it, and 5 years they're still doing it, and their resume is growing, and then people, you're looking at, oh, they are now in this person's collection, and now the value of their work is slowly creeping up, and you can't get a piece for $50 anymore, and you can't get a piece for $100. You know that person is going to become someone that you need to continue to invest in. Mm-hmm. I would like to be able to teach the people in the community that they need to do that. I want to teach them, hey, let's look at NFTs, right? The new way.
Which is all the conversation right now.
Right.
Whew. I so am grateful for this conversation. We talk all the time, but for the folks who are listening, I wish I could have more time on the other side of this to have, so y'all can really have more, listen to us really go in. But she'll be back. I'll have her back. Yeah. Because I'm such a fan of her and her work, and I'm so excited about Wabi Gallery. So thank you so much, Kim Weston. You are a treasure.
Thank you, Babs. You know, I was looking at your name the other day, and I was like, Babs should play some Lou Rawls.
don't give Harry ideas, because Harry will go and dig up some Lou Rawls.
Harry, play some Lou Rawls for Babs for me.
Let me get out of here.
I love you, Babs. Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Kim. I adore you, and I'm looking forward to Wabi Gallery opening its doors, because I'm going to be right there, me and Ife, right there, co-working space.
All right.
Thank you so much. Kiss the baby, say hi to your wife, and I'll see you out here in these art streets.
All right. Take care, sis. Love you.
All right, my dear. Love you, too. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow. And y'all have a good day. Stay warm out there. It's cold. Hi, this is Babs Rawls-Ivy from New Haven, Connecticut. And you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM, streaming live at newhavenindependent.org.